Heyo.
Hello.
All right, you ready for the best beer of the night right here?
Well, here's hoping. It's a screw-off. That's how you know it's good.
So we had beer club this month, and it was wheat beers, all things wheat. Wheat IPAs, wheat beers, American wheats, whatever. And I was up at the Colo, so I went to the beer distributor's Touch of Beer Nuts up in Blonox, O'Hara, wherever it is there. Almost Hawk Chapel, I guess. And they had enough wheat beers, but just enough, you know, to cover the order. And one of those was Shock Top Honey Bourbon Cask Wheat. And the box was kind of beat up. The handle was ripped open pretty big. So I don't have high hopes for the care and handling of this beer. Its code is 14047. BG73, so maybe on the 47th day of 14, so it was brewed in sometime in February, be my guess.
Take a look at the stochasticity. Quadro Triticale. We're drinking the Quadro Triticale. What Triticale is was a grain on Star Trek. I think we've said that before because there was some other beer that used Triticale.
Probably, I think we've had it before.
It looks like a Star Trek kind of Star Trek-ish.
Right.
So yes, this is Shocked Up.
First sniff on it, you know, it's not so bad. It doesn't smell oxidized like I thought it would be. It has a bit of a honey flower thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a little bourboniousness in there.
Mm-hmm.
The aroma's not bad,
and the taste isn't bad either. It's you definitely get the bourbon in there. You get some of the honey, too.
Oh, yeah. It has a pretty good sweet flavor to it. We'll see how much I enjoy that after my 6 ounces of this.
Yeah, it's a little candy-like, so it could get overwhelming. But the first taste is not that bad.
It tastes pretty fresh. One of my coworkers, he's like, did you try that? It didn't taste right. And so because of the condition of the case, I was worried that
it could be one of those things that after a couple of sips, it'd be like,
all right, so.
Anyway. So, have you been?
Been pretty good. Working on moving our data center from one colo provider to another, because we were hit with a tremendous price increase on the existing colo provider. So, see you later. But I'm really freaking sick of moving things, you know.
You're kidding.
We moved the colo a couple years ago, I guess 3 years ago now.
Why are there only four? Should there be a fifth beer?
It's hiding. 3 years ago, we moved the colo from one colo provider to this colo provider because we were using too much power. And that was a great story. You probably remember. Long-time listeners who have perfect memories will remember this story, which is almost no one. Driving to work one morning, and I get a call from Yates. Because our colo was consolidated at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get a call from Yates. Yeah, Jeff, we need to turn off half your gear. Can you turn off half... Or it's more like, can you turn off half your gear? No. Okay, we need you to get out. You know, that's basically what it was. So we had to find a new colo provider, so we found the one that we're at today. And we had a pretty good deal. We signed up for 2 years. They had us renew on the same terms for one more year. We were happy with it. Thought they were a pretty decent colo provider. But this time around, they were like, it's time to start talking about renewing your contract, and it's not going to be the same sweetheart deal that I gave you the last 3 years. So the first proposal they gave us was ridiculous. They were hitting us with a big price increase, and they were going to require that we build our own cooling containment. You know how they make like in-row cooling for servers, for data centers now? Like it fits between the racks?
I have no idea about that.
So they make in-row stuff. So basically they're going to hit us with a price increase and make us spend about $80,000 in capital to build the cooling containment. So we basically told them that's not going to happen.
Right.
And they knew we were shopping around. So they came back with a proposal that didn't require us to, you know, build our own cooling environment inside their cooling environment.
Mm-hmm.
But the price increase was significant, and they were also capping how much, you know, capping how much stuff we could put in Iraq, which...
Well, that's never good.
Well, it keeps their heat densities and formulas in place, right?
They aren't capping your bandwidth. Just
no, capping how much power we can spend. Well, we don't care about bandwidth. We have virtually no bandwidth. We have 50 megabit of bandwidth. That's all we have. Mm. We don't use bandwidth. It's our R&D in QA lab, right? So instead of having a machine room in our office, right, we co-locate it. The way things are today, everyone can work remotely on the stuff. It works fine. Saves us money. Saves us from having to run our own data center and cooling plant and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you get big enough, you'll eventually be doing that anyway.
Probably eventually. But, you know, I'm not looking forward. Actually, the way the cloud stuff's going, we might not have to. We might be able to run all the stuff at Amazon in the cloud. So, it's quite a possibility. But anyway, so they came back, so we shopped around, so we found another place. And so we're moving next Saturday, yeah. And so this is I moved to Colo 3 years ago. I moved the office in October, and that was 6 months of my life planning that move, right? Uh-huh. Making sure I wasn't missing anything. We had to build a small server room there, small machine room. Plus, I was on the hook for... No one really took ownership of that move project.
Right.
And since I was head of IT, when stuff doesn't work, who's going to get slapped the most, right?
Big finger on you, yeah.
Right, so that's why I took that job, right? I took the lead on the move. Mm-hmm. So I headed up the entire move. Everything went great. It was a very fulfilling experience. But, you know, I'm ready to work on something else instead of moving stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and here you are moving stuff again. But... The price for failure is not as big this time, right? I mean, if there's a problem, it's just a development server. I mean, it's big, but it's not as huge as moving the entire.
There's not as many. It's not as hard because it's not. Yeah, it's not as much stuff. But if it fails, it'll be very, very impactful nonetheless, right? Almost as bad as people couldn't work at a desk, you know. If they can't work on their machines, remote machines, then they're done. So, you know, that's what we're doing next Saturday. Well in hand. I probably have some long nights this weekend working out some documentation, training materials, because we're enlisting a bunch of volunteers from work to do different tasks, try to parallelize the job out.
Mm.
So I have to write documentation on how to upgrade the switches and how to do different tasks. We're going to do a couple opportunistic upgrades while we're moving this. We're reducing our footprint of racks. That means we have to re-rack a bunch of stuff because the old Colo, our cost efficiency was once we filled up a PDU circuit, did maximum current on it, we'd move on to the next rack. So right now today we have plenty of empty rack space in each rack because that was more cost effective to move to the next rack than to buy a second power circuit and have it go underutilized. At the new Colo, it is most cost effective to use every single rack unit. So we've got to re-rack everything in a more dense way and make cabling management more difficult.
What's the difference? I mean, where is this place versus the other Colo?
The old Colo's in, you've been there, right? You picked me up that one time in O'Hara, mm-hmm. right? And the new one's in Ross Township. It's near the bottom of McKnight Road where like McKnight and Babcock is. It's in that area.
Hmm. So actually close to where I work. Well, no.
No, really. You work in Mount Lebanon.
But the McKnight Road goes through that. No, not McKnight. No, I think McNeely. That's why. No, Ross Township by Ross Park Mall.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not too far from there. It's near the old office, actually. It would have been really handy to get to the, from the old office to there. It's closer for me if I ever have to go from home.
Yeah.
So it's a bonus. I don't have to do much off-hours travel to the Colo anymore now that I have Justin helping me, so he inherits all that shit. So that's my next week. What do you have to share? I'll let you talk a little bit.
I've just been doing stuff at work. I've been learning the system, and it's been interesting. They're little projects that the guy who's the lead, mm-hmm. Gives me to sort of, do something in our training environment, make a new tab with mm-hmm. this stuff, and it teaches you about all the things you're doing. And so I like to not only just do it, but also make it work with other things that are going. Like one of my, let's see if I can explain this. One of my things is yeah, making a new tab, but I also want to actually have it work with the breadcrumb system we have. So, so I asked about that. He said, well, I didn't ask you to do that, but here's how it works. So, you know, I'm learning as right. we go along and learning the system. And it's cool. It's just, you know, the worst day was Friday because I got in to work and my computer wasn't working, or I wasn't able to log into the network. I was able to log into the computer, but I wasn't able to log into the network. So so there was a lot of stuff going on where they had to get me off the computer and do stuff. So that took some time. And then there were some meetings that happened and just they need the company meeting. And so just it discombobulated me a bit. I wasn't working as well as I did the other days, but still, you know, then I got into one of those things where you've made something and every single thing kind of breaks. You have to go through step by step, every single thing to figure out what's working. And that right. takes a while, even though it's a small problem, even though I'm showing four fields, it took me a long time to get through and figure out why those four fields weren't working. And it reaches back into all different things in the application. So no, it's cool. I'm learning a lot. But yeah, if you're wondering about whether Cold Fusion is powerful, it's just as powerful. This is as much an application as any JSP or ASP application you've ever used. So,
okay,
it's an MVC language. I mean, there's a model view controller.
Right. Well, that's probably new. I mean, because when I used Cold Fusion back in Jesus 98, right? I actually had a job where I was doing Cold Fusion work, and
but if you look at ASP back in 98, they were just, you know, you're adding tags and stuff. Yeah. It was not the same way it is now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just remember Cold Fusion being primitive compared to what ASP and PHP had at the same time. So, yeah, I'm sure it's evolved.
It's very much evolved. And the debugging central in Cold Fusion is actually really cool. It actually, dumping variables, you can dump entire structures and it shows them in a nice HTML thing that you can look at. It's really, really pretty cool.
Griggs and Lerv.
I don't know if I'm in Lerv. It's a lot easier than doing a whole bunch of response.writes. You can just say cf dump blah, cf abort, and then it will just show you the bit that you've dumped. And you can really, if it's an array, you can just show the entire thing and then zoom into where you want to do it. Right. It's cool. But enough work stuff. The thing that was bugging me the most this week was there was a news story.
I saw your tweet.
About, it bounced around on the tech websites because, so some guy at NASA
Is there new developments, or is it the same thing that went around the wire, you know, 6 months ago?
The new development is that this guy talked to some people who are graphics designers, like Mike Okuda, who works at Star Trek, and they
Well, actually, I didn't even let you talk about why you're pissed off, right?
Yeah.
No, people don't even know what you're pissed off about yet.
Well, you may have seen it bouncing around. Is that NASA has plans for a new FTL starship, and they showed these nice-looking, you know, sci-fi pictures of a new quote-unquote Enterprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was going around was NASA is developing FTL, and this is the ship they plan to make. And no, it's just this guy reached out to some people, some graphic artists, and said, hey, can you make a ship? Can you make a drawing, you know, a nice render of a ship with these kind of specifications? And they said, sure. And so, and they made something that looks cool, sure. And then it got sent around, like, NASA's working on FTL. NASA's not working on FTL.
Well, they are.
Well, I mean, they are, but NASA, well, they not, again, it's not they are. They have a guy on their payroll who is thinking about possible new propulsion technologies, and one of the things that is his pie in the sky dream is some sort of FTL based on the Alcubierre method, the Alcubierre metric, I should say. But that's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. None of these articles made it clear that the Alcubierre metric or basing something real on the Alcubierre metric is bullshit. The Alcubierre metric is fantasy. It relies on this idea of using something that has negative energy density and its mass with negative energy so it has inverse relationship to gravity. This doesn't exist. This does not exist. The only place where this sort of negative energy, quote-unquote, exists is in, you can do Casimir effect experiments and quantum level. It's really, really, really tiny. You can't expand that. The stuff the guy is doing is he's doing laser work to try to make, to try to see if he can make some more of this, of this Casper effect, but most people think he can. And anyway, it doesn't matter because that certainly wouldn't be enough to propel a spaceship, let alone even a particle faster than light. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem that anybody has with the idea of FTL is that FTL is necessarily time travel. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. It breaks causality. I'll give you an example. All right, let's say you have a ship, two ships that fly away from each other very fast, right? And they have a, say it's a duel, right? They've agreed to a duel, and they will, when they fly away, and once they get a million miles apart, they will fire a gun, an FTL gun, that will destroy the other one. Mm-hmm. So they go away from each other, and from one person's perspective, they fire the gun at the time. It actually arrives before the other person fires the gun at their time, but from the perspective, it gets confusing, but the idea is that ultimately the gun will hit the ship A will fire, ship B will see that ship A fire, will get hit by ship B and fire at ship A. Ship A will then be hit before they actually fired.
Right.
So if they didn't actually fire, and they're destroyed before they actually fired, then why was, then ship B didn't fire to shoot them, and so suddenly you have...
Wait, say that again. I think...
Okay.
Because what you said seemed to not be paradoxical.
All right.
Okay, so two ships flying away, and the ships are the same speed and everything, right?
You know what? If you can pause for a second, because I want to get this example exactly.
Blow my mind.
Right, when I look for a good explanation, I always go back to Robot Roll Call on Reddit, who makes great explanations. Okay. So Alice and Bob get fed up with each other, mm-hmm, and decide they're going to have a duel with tachyon pistols.
Okay.
The rules are thus. Each duelist will board his or her super advanced spaceship and, on the count of three, accelerate away from each other for 10 seconds.
Okay.
Then they will turn without stopping, boring technicality, mm-hmm, and fire their tachyon pistols at each other. Alice, filled to the brim with loathing for Bob, boards her spaceship and waits for the count. 1, 2, 3, and she's off at some substantial fraction of the speed of light. She counts down 10 seconds, turns, and fires at Bob. Mm-hmm. But since Bob and Alice have been receding from each other at high speed, Bob is time dilated in Alice's frame of reference. So when her clock says 10 seconds have elapsed, only 5 seconds have elapsed for Bob.
Is his ship a different speed then?
No, they're receding from each other at high speed.
Okay.
The times are different. They both look, you know, one person looks at this clock, it's slow. This person looks at that clock, it's slow. To them.
Okay, but I'm curious how, if they're... Why has Alice transpired 10 seconds and Bob only 5?
Because Alice...
What's the variable that made that happen?
That's time dilation. Alice is
because of different speed ships, or what?
Because
if they had equal ships, they'd both be accelerating at the same speed, right? And they would have the same time dilation.
Yes, but because one is because they're accelerating, so they're experiencing this thing, mm-hmm, from Bob's perspective. Alice's clock is moving slow. From Alice's perspective, Bob's clock is moving slow.
Right. So it seems equal on both sides, right?
But which one is... There's no one that's correct.
Use the clock that's on your spaceship.
But that's not the correct one. Well, that's the thing. They're using the clock that's on their spaceship. Mm-hmm. To them, time is the same, right, but the other guy's time is... So, since Bob and Alice have been receding from each other at high speed, Bob is time dilated in Alice's frame of reference. Mm-hmm. So when her clock says 10 seconds have elapsed, only 5 seconds have elapsed for Bob.
Right.
when she fires her magic instantaneous tachyon pistol, it hits Bob's spaceship.
Instantaneous tachyon pistol.
It's faster than light.
But it could be a little bit faster than light. It could be 300 million and 1 meters per second.
Even if it is.
Well, it's different than instantaneous because it's going to still take time to get there. If it's instantaneous, it's going to be there in an instant, right? So you were just talking about faster than light. Now you're saying instantaneous pistols.
Well,
it's
if
a
it's
big difference.
If it's faster than light, it effectively is instantaneous.
No.
It will be to the perspective. Well, not. All right, well. Let's assume for the examples case that it's such a small distance where the tachyon pistols fire such a high speed that it's instantaneous for them.
Okay.
Just make that assumption so you can get the example to work, and then we'll work at the problems as they come. Okay.
Okay.
All right. When she fires her magic instantaneous tachyon pistol, it hits Bob's spaceship when his clock reads 5 seconds. Not after 10. So enraged that Alice...
No, it hits Bob's spaceship when Alice sees Bob's clock reading 5 seconds. Not Bob seeing his own clock reading 5 seconds.
When Bob's clock... When Bob says that he's gone, Bob sees it only as 5 seconds and Alice sees it as 10. Enraged that Alice fired early, Bob turns and shoots right back at her. But since they've been receding from each other at high speed, Alice is time dilated in Bob's frame. So when he fires at the instant his clock reads 5 seconds, only 2.5 seconds have elapsed for Alice. Bob's aim is better than Alice's, so his shot sends her spaceship and kills her 7.5 seconds before she fired the shot that caused Bob to shoot her back.
This doesn't sound like a good argument to me at all. It doesn't. Okay, so Alice shoots at 10 seconds.
Mm.
If Alice could read Bob's clock, she would read 5 seconds.
No. Well, what Alice can't read Bob's clock, period. Alice only has her own clock to work on.
She can still see Bob.
No, they're going away from each other at high speed.
Then how does she shoot Bob? She can't see Bob.
She figures out where his position is going to
okay.
be.
Okay. Right. But if you had a telescope, you could see Bob. So you could look in Bob's porthole and see Bob's clock. And that's the thing that would be at 5 seconds.
But she is going by her clock, and her clock says...
All right. She's firing when her clock says 10 because she knows that the inverse dilation will... The same violation is happening the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
I don't see how...
The point.
I don't see how Bob gets hit at 5 seconds.
Well, these are instantaneous pistols, so it shoots from Bob. So
Alice sees Bob getting hit at 5 seconds.
Bob sees himself getting hit at 5 seconds. Alice, as far as she's concerned, waited 10 seconds and fired at Bob. Bob sees himself get hit only 5 seconds in, so he shoots her, and that hits Alice before she shot. It's hard to conceptualize, but this is what happens when FTL is in there.
I could see a... Okay, so... Okay, so here's the question I was going to say, but I need to explore it deeper. I was going to say, so if Bob was sitting stationary, I understand the time dilation maybe, but... You know, he's accelerating away, so I thought it would be the same from both parties. But let's look at the traditional time dilation, fly to the navigator type stuff, right? Where kid gets abducted, flies away to a faraway universe, comes back. He's no older, but everyone else is aged 10, 15 years or whatnot.
Right.
That's because... Or, you know, an atomic clock flying on an airplane around the world 15 times. You know, same kind of thing. That's because time is moving slower for the person who is moving and then coming back to the other frame of reference, right? The one where more people are, right? Because they're going to agree that the time of reference, you know, there's more people to corroborate the correct time, right? So it's whoever the more people are, right, is who corroborates what time it really is. I'm sure you could argue with that too, but I'm just kind of feeling it out here.
There's no absolute time.
So, right. But see, so you're thinking about Bob and Alice flying away from each other. Alice flies away from the starting. So say there's a referee in the center, right?
Why would that matter?
Well, just to give me another frame of reference.
Okay.
Who's at the starting point.
Okay.
Okay. So if there's a referee in the center, Alice is going to fly 10 seconds and shoot at Bob.
Fly what she considers 10 seconds.
Right.
Not 10 and seconds from to the referee
and
or
from
Bob.
The referee, it would actually be...
We don't know.
Longer, exactly. Right? If he's... Well, he's the center point. He's the stationary point between these two parties, right?
Okay.
So he's in the middle. So if Alice is flying away at a high proportion of the speed of light, her time is going to be moving slower, right? So her seconds...
No.
Her time's going to be moving... She's... From the, only the time referee, she's going to have aged less than 10 seconds, but before she shoots, from the referee's point of view.
Right.
If he had an instant... If he had a tachyon telescope, right?
Yeah,
he needs that instantaneous telescope.
Yes.
Because if he didn't... If he had a light telescope, then it's going to look...
Well, light still travels at sea, so right. they're going a fraction under the speed of light. So, light still will get to him. But the point is that,
right? But she's going to fire before he sees it, and then because it's instantaneous, it's going to come in before. So Bob going the other way. Let's see. So, Alice is going to shoot at 10 seconds. If the referee had a tachyon telescope,
thing I was looking for, the original one.
I just can't follow this one. It sounds like a bad analogy. I don't even see the paradox in that one. So,
all right. Suppose you have a cannon that fires Albuquerque-driven shells at an enemy. I mean, what could destroy them better than a bullet they can't even see coming? And suppose you and your enemy fly off at nearly the speed of light away from each other. But you have these superluminal cannons, so your bullets can still catch up to each other. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You agree to a duel. Fly away for 1,000,000 seconds. Your clocks are perfectly timed and synchronized. Mm-hmm. Then fire at each other.
Right.
Well, it turns out when you fire, your bullet hits your target after you've experienced only maybe 800,000 seconds, compared to what the person thinks. And their bullet hits you after only 800,000 seconds. But you both waited a full 1,000,000 seconds. Now you're dead, having been destroyed at T-800,000, so neither of you now fire. But now that neither of you fire, neither of you are dead, and you both fire.
Okay, I see what you're saying, right? Because it's so much faster that it's going back in time, right? And...
If it goes back in time and destroys you before you fire, then how did you...
No, it destroys you before they fire.
Before they fired. It destroys them before they fired.
They fire, but it's...
See?
No, it's all frame of reference still, though, because I... How... Okay. I shoot at you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How do I get the information that... You've blown up before I shoot.
Well, this example doesn't even take that. Right. It just says they agree to get to 1,000,000 seconds and then shoot at each other.
Right. I mean, so there's two different things. I mean, a gun that's a little bit faster than the speed of light. Right. I shoot you and you die before I see the bullet hit you. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, or I see you die in less time than the bullet than. Or no, what do I see? I shoot you, and you die before you see me shoot.
Okay, this is a better example. Think about this one, okay? Ignore the Alice and Bob one, because that may be a little more complicated. This is actually a better example. So, you're moving away from each other, you agree to wait 1,000,000 seconds, and then fire, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, from your perspective, if you're just looking at person A, flying away, waits 1,000,000 seconds, and fires. Simple enough. Person B, moving away, waits 1 million seconds, fires. Again, simple enough. Mm-hmm. But since you're firing a tachyon thing, it manages to catch up and hits the person before they get to 1 million seconds. It hits the person at 800,000. So okay, they get destroyed.
But what if it takes...
But they shot you, and you got destroyed here. But you didn't get destroyed because they got destroyed. All of a sudden, causality goes out the window. Something majorly is messed up with the universe. Because their bullet hits you before you get a chance to fire, even though you got a chance to fire and destroy the... What?
I'm still missing it. I still don't see the break in causality. So, does the... traveling away... maybe I'm missing something with the traveling away. I mean, if it's... Okay, so I'm here, and you're... You know, I don't know, eight light minutes across the solar system from mm-hmm. me on that side of the table. And I have a FTL gun that can do it in 7 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So you see me
mm-hmm.
over by the sun
mm-hmm.
pointing a gun at you
mm-hmm.
and you die before, or you get hit in the shoulder before a minute before you see me pull the trigger.
Yes. That, there's no problem
right.
there.
Okay.
But what if there was something where where I also shot a gun at you?
Right. Okay. So, okay, let me see. So, I shoot a gun at you. And so, okay, so I guess the argument you're trying to make is I shoot a gun at you and
let's say I have a gun that I'm holding at you. Mm-hmm. I have the same sort of gun.
Right.
And as soon as I shoot it and you shoot it at somebody at person C agrees it to, from their perspective, the same time. Right.
So, I mean, I see where you're trying to get the causality breaking, right? You want to kill me before I shoot.
Well, I will kill you before you shoot, and then you'll kill me before I shoot. And all of a sudden, I only shot because you shot me.
I have a hard time figuring out how...
This is hard math.
I have a hard time figuring out how we both die before we shoot. No matter how fast it is, right? Because... Now, I'm not arguing that FTL isn't time travel anyway, right? Because mm-hmm. there's things you can do. Information gets there, you know, before... I don't know. My head's starting to hurt, I guess. It's just I have a hard time getting to the point where we both kill each other before either of us shoot. And...
I don't blame you for having a hard time with it. It's a hard concept to wrap your head around. But that's the way it works. So...
Because, I mean, I'm trying to, like, look at orders of magnitude faster than the speed of light, and I still don't see how that... It's... When I've always thought of FTL as equivalent to time travel, it is in beating the information, right? It's, mm-hmm. you know, imagine if you're playing the stock market, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a pretty easy one to imagine, right? Where if you get the stocks in early, you win the stock market, right? You know, so if you can get your stock trades faster than light... You know, stock tips information. If you can get what the closing bell is going to be while there's still time in the trading day, you can place your trades, and that's like time travel, mm-hmm. right? Because you're getting information from the future, right?
Yes.
Getting what the closing bell is.
Well, okay, think about that example, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you are getting information about the future. Whatever you do then, you make a whole bunch of major trades that affect the stock market, that might actually change the way the stock market... has reacted,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you would actually have gotten different information than you would have before you got the information.
See, I can get my head around that paradox. I can't get my head around the "we're both dead before we shoot" paradox.
Okay, well, whatever works for you. Whatever paradox gives you the best
idea. I just can't see how we get to a point where
so ignore that one. But the information one, it will work the same way.
It's just calculus at that point, man. You know, it's just this little... You know, the formula is always fluid. It's not paradox.
But you already did those trades, from your perspective, that didn't cause the information... That based on the original information. Mm-hmm. But since you made made those trades, then the information that would come in would be different, so you wouldn't have made those trades. Boom, boom, boom. The universe explodes.
No, because you can't lap yourself. You make the trades. You're still going to come out ahead. It's not going to...
So
you're not going to get the exact same results. You're going to get close results.
The whole point of all of this is that FTL...
No, but I get you how the causality breaks there. I'm just being funny. But I mean, causality breaks because you have information. You act upon it. It changes that information. So the information you got is not the information you got, right? So then the trades you make might not be the trades that you made. And then, it's definitely turtles the whole way down right there.
Right. So the way that scientists basically deal with this is that we, I'm not a scientist. I play one on the podcast. It's considered that FTL is impossible. Based on the way the universe works, there's even things called like the chronology protection conjecture, which says that even
here's a question for you. So we just talked about how causality breaks in the stock trade scenario because we're closing the loop back to the we're acting upon the information that we got back in the frame of reference where the information came from. Now, give me an example where causality breaks, where it's only going one way, right? Where we want to communicate with a colony, right? Mm-hmm. But the colony has no way to get back and play the stock market, you know? So there's like, okay, so I'm trying to think of an example where causality breaks there, you know, like, you know, we communicate with them like, oh, here, today it was cloudy in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And they get it less than 3 days later. They get it 2 days later. How does that faster than light information break causality?
If they can send information back to you, then they can tell you what the weather's going to be like before you had it. If not, then nothing is broken because there's no information transfer back. So the causality breaks when there's some sort of information being transferred back, be that a gun, a bullet, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So if there's no information being transferred back, then I don't see how it would necessarily break causality.
Right. Now I'm just thinking, I'm thinking of a problem with what I said about the whole stock trade thing, but I think it's probably time to move on to the next topic.
The interesting thing is that this actually has to do with, how time travel is portrayed in movies. You know, there are some that get it wildly wrong from the perspective of what we think we know about time travel, I should say that. And some that get it pretty close to right if time travel is possible in movies, TV, etc. The ones that get it wrong are the ones where you can change the past. Your time cops, your quantum leaps, etc. The ones they get it right are kind of the lost ones, where whatever happened, happened. You go into the past doesn't influence the past, because that already has happened. So you go into the past is already destined to happen. It's what they call the predestination paradox. So the only one the one I can think of that gets it right in terms of movies is, I think Bill and Ted got it right, in that they never actually changed the past. Oddly enough, Bill and Ted got time travel right out of all the movies.
Looper didn't break it, did it? I mean, Looper only sent people into the future, right?
Looper changed the past because it changed who became the... because it changed the kid's destiny. And it was constant... And you could see them changing... Like, remember the guy was walking around and slowly got, like, pieces of him cut off and stuff like that? Yeah. So, no, Looper didn't get it right.
Okay.
It turns into this mess. Mm-hmm. The other way sometimes people approach it is, well, if you actually don't go back in time, you go to another universe that's just like ours, except for it's right. Different time period. You know, okay.
You're kind of forking.
Yeah.
You're kind of forking the timeline.
Right. At that point, your Star Trek example, right?
Or I'm just thinking of like source code, right? GitHub. Let's fork off this project and go back to commit number 73 and start from there.
The thing that always bugged me about like now. Back to the Future is, okay, so in all these time travel things, but Back to the Future especially, he's driving and then he hits 88 and then goes back in time to exactly where he was, but however many years mm-hmm. ago. The thing is that the Earth and the Sun were way over there, 20, 30 years ago when he went back in time. So he's driving here in this particular period of portion of space, goes back in time, all of a sudden he should be in interstellar space.
No, because he's going back to the same day of the year. He just needs to make sure he's on the same
segment. The Earth and the Sun are moving around.
Oh. But who sets the frame of reference? It's the...
Maybe it's something the flux capacitor does.
It's probably based on the gravitational magnetic field of the Earth, right? And that's anchoring it.
Anyway. Yeah, things are in different, quote-unquote, locations, because you can't really define them. That's why I say quote-unquote, because it's all relative. But... where I am standing right here is far different from where we'll be next week, not just because I'll be sitting here, but because the Earth will have moved, the Sun will have moved, the galaxy will have moved, everything will have moved. So if you picked a spot...
A fabric of space-time.
Right. Then that fabric of space-time is going to be far away.
Yeah, I guess if that's the anchor, that wouldn't make for good time travel stories.
No, it's poof. All of a sudden, you're in interstellar space, and the Sun's way over there.
Oh, fuck. There you go. Write a time travel movie. Have that happen. Have him freeze and die. And it's
kind
over.
Of, you know.
Fade to black.
It's not that good of a story, unfortunately. All right. I have more. We can save it for
okay.
a post show. Hope that didn't screw with anybody's head too much.